Our younger daughter is scheduled to graduate from veterinary school in May. And this week, as Kathy and I bought our tickets to go, proud parents that we are, we shared a chuckle with one another recalling her last day of kindergarten many years ago. She was on the drive home from school that last day of kindergarten in her car seat in the back of the car and declared that she had decided that she was going to be a grader. She hadn't yet fully grasped her R's, so what she actually declared was that she was going to be a guada. And we conjured up images of big yellow road equipment moving dirt around with a six-year-old at the helm. But she was exasperated by our total lack of understanding and declared once more, no, she was going to be a guada, you know, first guada, second guada, third guada. And she was ready. That last day of school, kindergarten, she was ready to go straight into first grade that first day of school. Do you remember your first day of school, first grade, second grade, elementary, one of those, or maybe those of your children? The ritual, the first day energy, the rising early with the anxious energy to get going. The clothes are chosen and ready, laid out. Breakfast is in a hurry because I'm not really hungry. And the requisite photo of the first day of school to memorialize it, right? There's something special about first days. The first day of school, or later on, maybe the first day of work on a new job. Something that stands out from all the other days that have gone before. And no worries about the days yet to come. This one is the day to demand our full attention. Today. And Jesus had just such a moment in the synagogue of his hometown. He's prepared for it. He's risen early that morning, clothes laid out, breakfast eaten. He leaves his mother's home early because today is the day. And he's fully present in the moment. Now, it's helpful to situate this passage in the context of what has led up to it in up to this moment in the Gospel of Luke. He is a grown man now, no longer a boy, an adult. He has gone and stepped into his waters of baptism. And out of there, he goes on a 40-day spiritual retreat in the wilderness as he works through questions of meaning and purpose and identity. And we are told that coming out of that spiritual retreat, that he is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's charismatic. His teaching is dynamic and provocative. He's been teaching all over the Galilean countryside. Folks are listening to him. They're liking what he has to say. Word is spreading about this charismatic teacher. And then he goes back to his home synagogue, where people have known him his whole life. They've known him since he was a boy. And they choose him to be the darshanim that day, the reader from Scripture, similar to our lectors that read from the Bible here. Well, we read from a three-ring binder of the Scripture text, not a big scroll like the darshanim would, but you get the point. It's a role he had been in multiple times before, surely, but this day, for some reason, is different. And not only for Jesus, but the people who hear him sense that something is different this day. The way he reads the Scripture, the way he walks to read the scroll and walks back to his seat, they keep their eyes trained on him as he returns to his seat. He sits down. They hold the space then for him in silence, waiting for him to comment on what he just read. Teach us. I suspect many there thought he might talk about the good old days of Isaiah centuries earlier and the way he was offering good news to people back then. Or maybe they thought Jesus would pick up the thread from Isaiah and cast his sight downrange to a future when that good news would come into fruition anew. But what does he simply say? Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Present moment, not yesteryear, not someday yet to come, today. Fulfillment today. Hope here and now. Yes, we can. And we'll hear the rest of the story next week, how they are so amazed by his statement, his charisma. He's just Joseph and Mary's boy, after all. They actually turn on him. They run him out of town because they can't stand the thought of what he's saying today. It's too much to take in. Spoiler alert, they try to kill him, but he gets away, at least for a time. Jesus, on this day, is inviting us to catch a glimpse of the prophet's vision, the good news from Isaiah. When oppressed are set free, captives are released, the poor are offered good news, all will be present, all will know the present time as the year of the Lord's favor, known as the Jubilee, the time of forgiving debts and restoring relationships, the opportunity to rejoice and be reconciled with one another. Today, he says, this is the day. Emboldened by the Spirit's presence, Jesus is speaking about the reign of God here and now, the present moment of divine justice that is always at hand if we are willing and ready to step into it. The truth is, though, it's hard to live in the present moment, especially when the world is not right, especially when the world is not right. When powers and principalities wreak havoc on the poor and the oppressed, to cope, we often cling to the nostalgic memories of the good old days gone by. Or we orient in anxiety to an uncertain future. What will come from all of this? It's natural enough to do one or both. A recent survey of churchgoers in the U.S. tell the story that a majority of churchgoers, of Christians in this country, hold the opinion that the best days of the church are behind us and the future of the church is bleak. That's the case for liberal and conservative Christians alike. A prevailing nostalgia for the good old days or a distressing anxiety about the future, and together they consume a lot of our energy communally and individually. But they do something else also. They inhibit the important task that we all have of placing ourselves squarely into the sacred drama that has God acting in our time right here and now, today. Now, for my folks, for my part, folks, I have a keen sense that the Holy Spirit is moving in this community. I feel it especially in our time. Many of you have told me the same in recent weeks and months, that the Spirit is up to something here and now, in our midst. That is exciting. But let's be clear, it's a dangerous proposition also, because we cannot control the Spirit, right? The Spirit will blow where she wills and how she wills. And if she is present, then there will be surprises for us along the way. The Spirit is inviting us, I believe, to release our tight grip on nostalgic memories and fretful fears of the future, and instead open ourselves to the possibility of God's reign breaking in right here and right now, and that we become agents of that reign of God. We won't do it perfectly, not by a long shot, but this is our time, folks. This is our time today. So watch for burning bushes and mark those places as holy ground. Watch for Jesus come and sit down next to you and listen to what he has to say. I bet it will begin with today. Today. This is the moment for this community to act in the name of God's justice. His friends back there in the synagogue, they got scared that day and turned on him, tried to run him off a cliff. In time, he will hang from a cross because his message of hope and justice in the moment was too hot for many to hold. Nostalgia and anxiety are potent diversions from the moment and task at hand. But Jesus calls us back here and now as one in our midst, saying to you and me and any who have ears to listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit has anointed you to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of Jubilee to this broken, hurting world today. Today, he says. Today, take your places in the sacred drama of God's love and be agents of God's healing reign today.